Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Secrets of the iPhone X.
Ooh. And I'll tell you how to get more sleep or at least rest when you spend all night playing with your iPhone X.
Plus, a photo app for non-photo editors.
Ooh, I can't wait. It's time for iOS Today, my favorite show. iOS Today is brought to you by 23andme.com. Now through Thanksgiving, 23andMe Ancestry Service Kits are only $49 when you buy two or more. That's 50% off the regular price of $99. Make your family's Thanksgiving even more special this year and visit 23andMe.com/twit. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. And by Blue Bottle Coffee. Get fresh, high-quality, delicious coffee delivered right to your door. Visit bluebottlecoffee.com/iOS today for $10 off your first coffee subscription order. The new iPhones are here. The new iPhones are here. We just said that a month ago, it feels like.
Yeah, I think those are old-fashioned. Those iPhone 8s were as old as the hills.
As old as the hills. Welcome to iOS Today, the show where Megan Maroney and I talk about the iPhone, all of the iPhones, not just the 10, the iPad, all of the iPads, not just the 10.5, the Apple Watch, all of the Apple Watches, not just the red dots, and Apple TV. Anything with iOS in it.
Oh, you got your Apple TV.
I did, and I love it.
And it's at home.
Well, how if we there's okay. So, and this is going to be a problem today because I'm also getting the new Xbox One X. Both are 4K devices. You need a 4K TV, mm-hmm. right, Ian? 4K TV with HDR. John, what is the resolution of this fine TV?
1080.
Basically 1080. And what is the resolution of the video the people at home are watching today?
720.
So we just have to trust you.
So I can show you 4K videos, but you're going to see 720p videos projected on a 1080p screen. I don't think that sounds good.
And that's all that's different about the new Apple TV? There's nothing else different?
That's all that's different. But the thing that's good, let's talk about it now.
Okay.
First of all, there are two models. There's a 32 gigabyte storage model. I think that's 180 or 170. And then the one I got, which is $200, is a 64 gigabyte. Or is it... I can't remember the memory configurations. I think that's it.
It's enough. Probably more than enough.
So that's the first question you ask is, well, what do I need? There you go. Do I need the 64 gigabyte? Probably not. I don't know why you would. But on the other hand, when you look at it, you say, well, for $20 more, I might as well get the all the memory.
Right. It's like the large or jumbo popcorn
yeah.
at the movies.
You don't store a lot of stuff on your Apple TV. Movies are cached, but the cache gets cleared out as you need space. It's apps. And I know you have installed a lot of apps, but you don't really use apps that much, right? I mean, maybe Flappy Bird or something once in a while. You play Crossy Road or something. But mostly the Apple TV is for watching TV. So I think probably most people could save a whole $20 and get the 32 gigabyte version. But I got the 64 because it's only $20 more. Apple's so smart. But one of the things they do give you, one of the kind of the freebies, is if you've purchased TVs and movies in the past on your Apple TV, and of course if you did, they would be at best 1080p high def. They automatically will give you an upgraded version for free. Nobody does that. Normally, you have to pay more for a 4K version. So I was watching, 180. That's probably the one you should get. Save the $20. Buy another movie. No, he says no. I'm going to pay $20 more.
Why not?
Why? Because it's more. It's better. Mm-hmm. It's twice as good for $20. Why not? So Deadpool, for instance, I had bought Deadpool in 1080p looked fine, but I have a 4K and more importantly, HDR, high dynamic range TV. I thought, is this going to work? And I went to my Apple TV. There are my purchased movies. A number of my movies, including Deadpool, upgraded to 4K high dynamic range, and man, do they look good.
Right,
so, on, Deadpool.
And also pay extra for the Netflix, so your Stranger Things
I pay extra.
Is better than my Stranger Things experience.
Okay, so no spoilers. We won't say any spoilers. If you watched it yet?
I finished it.
Oh, I haven't finished it. Yeah, no spoilers.
A marathon. You ripped off the Band-Aid. No spoilers. I'll just say it.
But you'll remember there are a couple of scenes where there are two figures in a completely dark room, right? And they're brightly lit, and everything is black, black, black. And that's where you would see, you know, some differences in high dynamic range, because the blacks are darker and the whites are whiter, and it really it's almost three-dimensional. You almost feel like they're in the room, because the dark part just falls away. There's nothing there. There's no artifacting, nothing there, even though it's streaming, and the characters almost look three-dimensional. So not to oversell it, it's not going to change your life or anything, but it does look a lot better. So if you're in the market for an Apple TV and you have a 4K UHD TV, especially if it supports high dynamic range, I think it's worth it. I really do think it's worth it. I'm really very happy with it. And I had a hole in my cabinet, because when I got the 4K TV, this is something, you should not buy a 4K TV without thinking about this. You'll have to upgrade everything else if you want to watch 4K content. You need a 4K Blu-ray player. You need a 4K audio visual AV receiver, if you use one. If you don't have one that's 4K capable, nothing matters, right? You have to get, so I upgraded the Roku, everything was upgraded, except I couldn't upgrade the Apple TV. So I yanked it out and threw it across the room. And so there was just a nice empty hole in my audio visual cabinet. But, and I'm glad I didn't unplug it. The plug was still there. The Ethernet cable was still there. And the HDMI cable was just sitting there. Sad. The Apple TV, I didn't even take the cable or anything out of the box. I just plugged it in. It doesn't come with an HDMI cable, but I plugged it in. The other thing, by the way, that is kind of worth it, and this one you can do all by yourself if you have an Apple TV, the new remote control is much improved with one simple thing. Remember, do you use your Apple?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You hit it by accident all the time. Happened last night watching the football game. All of a sudden, Netflix is on. So that's annoying, but it's also hard to tell which way's up.
Yes. How do you tell which way's up on the new one?
The new one. Show it again, Kevin. There's a ring and a ridge around the menu button. And you can immediately feel if it's upside down or right side up. Immediately. And that by itself, by the way, you can now buy that remote separately. So that's something that comes with the new 4K. But if you really are troubled by the Apple remote, that it might be a worthwhile upgrade. How much do they charge, Kevin, for the Apple remote? It's probably not. It's probably $50. But
so you can buy it separately.
You can't. They sell it separately. Well, I think they sell it separately.
Well, it would make sense, because you might lose yours.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you do. Now, and the other thing that I'm not crazy about the Apple remote, it's rechargeable. That's good, I guess, right? But you have to recharge it to a lightning cable. Mm-hmm. Cable not included.
Not very often, though. And I mean, no. I don't know. I have lightning cables coming out of every
As always
plug
with Apple.
In my whole house.
If you're an Apple family, no problem.
Our family that's here is laughing. They know, too.
If you buy an Apple TV and you don't have any other Apple devices, you're going to say, how do I charge it? How much are they? $100?
Whoa. That's a lot.
Whoa. How much is it? I can't read that.
That's one-tenth 50, of the
60
iPhone.
$60.
Oh,
60 bucks.
$100.
I underestimated. But, of course, I didn't add the 20% Apple tax on there. So $60. lose your remote and get a new one.
Yeah. I do like using Siri on the Apple TV, though.
I love that. Yeah, because it goes across all the platforms. So you can search for movies and it'll tell you all the different places you could watch it. Mm-hmm. That saves you money in the long run, right? Because if it's free on Netflix, you don't want to buy it on something else.
Well, just being able to talk. Like, we have an Android TV that's not new enough to be able to talk to.
I could talk to my Android TV, but it doesn't listen. No, it does. I have a Shield, which you can talk to, and it uses Google Assistant, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
That reminds me.
What reminds you?
And then it went right out of my head.
Was it
talking to your TV? No, talking to your TV. Well, I love, by the way, talking your password out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to clear the room.
Yeah.
I have to say, give me the room, please. And the family leaves. And then I can say my password out loud, which is really awesome. And then I say, okay, you can come back now.
Right.
But I hate typing the password. Click, click, click.
It's a huge pain.
Yeah.
So Would you like to see what we were like before we got our iPhone 10s? Like our past selves?
I feel like we're better looking. We're smarter. We're younger.
We are better. Yeah. We're just happier in general, more joyful, more grateful. We're living our best lives now. 2 days ago, we were not because we didn't have the iPhone 10.
Megan got hers November 3rd. My wife, who had ordered it, and you should check your orders, it said November 10th on her order, got it November 3rd. So she very kindly, thank you, Lisa, let me use her. Mine will come in a couple of weeks. She's going to use that one. But so both of us this past Friday did a little, I call it dueling unboxing. All right, here we go. This is it. Give me the over the shoulder shot. Typical Apple packaging, right? You got the silver. I got the gray, the space gray. This is actually mine's the silver when it comes. I like the silver, but Lisa got the space gray. So we'll have both colors. This is a 256 like yours. Designed by Apple in California, made in China. But pretend you didn't do what
I know,
you
I
did already.
I almost set it up.
I thought I had bad impulse control.
Nope, I have very bad impulse control.
All right,
control.
Let me look at this for the first time. Now, one of the things that they said, ooh, wait a minute. Is this space gray? No.
No, that's the silver.
You got silver too.
Yeah, it's white on the back. It's the sides that are silver.
Okay.
But this is the space gray. This is the old fashioned iPhone 8 that came out. What?
Oh.
I don't know. Like,
so Lisa, I thought you got gray, but you didn't. You got silver. Lisa?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay. She has good taste.
Do you guys talk at all?
No.
Okay.
She switched. So this is interesting because people commented this feels like the original iPhone. So I thought I brought out the original iPhone, and you're right. It's because of the curve on the corners and the curve on the screen. And Apple is actually at pains to say that this is a 5.5-inch screen, even though the corners are curved and cut off a little bit of it.
It's thicker. It's thicker than the iPhone 8.
It's kind of heavy in the hand. Compare it to your iPhone 8. You have an 8.
Yeah. You can tell how
take my 8 out of the case.
It is.
But it does, you know, there's a familial resemblance. The biggest change, of course, is the lens. Is now a horizontal. The camera module is horizontal. I'm sorry, vertical. It was horizontal last time. So, yeah, bigger screen than the iPhone 8, but much smaller in the hand. Much more like the, this is the 8 Plus, much more like the 8 or the 7. And, yeah, so shall we, okay, let me peel that off. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it right away. I'm going to put it in a case. I feel like the chrome on the side is going to get very fingerprinty fast.
Yeah.
So
let me get your case.
Case out. You should get your case out, too.
I kind of hate the idea of putting it in a case. It's so
beautiful. Yeah, but look at that. Now it's protected. And I'm doing this for Lisa because I don't want her to get a scratched phone.
Should just take yours.
All right. This has more become the unboxing of the case, which I didn't really want it to be, but I can't get this plastic off.
This peel case is kind of hard to get on.
The biggest change in this new iPhone is the OLED screen, and that's going to be huge, right? That's going to really make a difference.
It's going to be hard to see. When we interviewed the editor in chief of Tom's Hardware yesterday, he had one, and it was really hard to see.
So
he had
bright.
To turn it down way down.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
So this is using the new eSIM. So I'm not sure how I'm going to activate it. It does have a SIM a slot there, so you could put a SIM in it. So maybe I'll just put the SIM in from the T-Mobile.
Well, mine was, you know, you were supposed to be able to activate it through the other phone by holding them close together.
Oh, let's try it. It feels good in the hand. Doesn't it? It's a little smaller.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Certainly easy to manipulate.
It's not letting me activate.
Hello! Wow.
Now, okay, do you know what to do
said,
now?
People have said that it's like it's painted on. It is. That is remarkable. And by the way, it doesn't have that blue tint that people are complaining about with the Pixel 2 XL's OLED screen when you tilt it at an angle. It's just rock solid and crisp. Yeah, you swipe up, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have to connect mine to iTunes to activate it, which I didn't have to do with... When I went from the 7 to 8.
If you have an iPhone or an iPad running iOS 11, I do. Could you show mine?
I'm trying.
Thank you. Let's see what happens. Okay. If you have an iPhone, bring it nearby to sign in automatically.
That's what I did.
How near? Like that?
Probably shutting it, turning it off and turning it back on. That helps for me.
What? Turning what off and on?
The other phone. The
X?
No, the 8.
The 8? By the way, it's pretty well charged. It's already seeing LTE somehow. I don't know how. So you think I should turn this off?
Yeah, that's what I turned it off and then turned it back on. And then it showed me that graphic, like the Apple Watch with the swirly dust.
Oh.
Right, Alex?
So that's how it pairs? It pairs with the swirly dust? All right, well, I'm turning it back. I turned it off. Let's turn it back on. This really, I have to say, this screen is beautiful.
It really is.
You know what's nice? It doesn't have, for those of you who've used OLED screens from Samsung before and other companies, those really pop in a weird kind of very hyper real way. This looks, this is really Apple's, what Apple's goal was, to use that true color and really make it just look good. It does. It really looks painted on.
So do you have to actually put them together like so?
I don't know.
I don't remember what I did.
I don't know. I'm rebooting. Comes in the case with the usual accoutrement. Apple stopped the plastic packaging for the headphones. These are wired lightning headphones. There's a lightning to type A USB cable and, of course, a plug. Let me just look real close at this plug, and I'll tell you the wattage. It's 1 amp, so it's a 5-watt charger, which is, I think, normal.
And you mentioned the dongle, right?
Let me log in real quick. And it comes with it. There is a dongle in there?
Dongle in the box.
Good. I demand a dongle. All right, because, of course, we don't have a headphone jack. Swipe to open up. I did.
But these are lightning headphones.
Quick start. Bring it nearby to sign in automatically. Bring it nearby.
Okay.
Set up new iPhone. Yes. Hold your new phone up to the camera, and it's doing, you're right, it's doing that thing.
Right.
Boy, is that bright, huh?
What if other people see that thing?
It saw
they
it.
Hold their phone up
too late
log
for them.
Into yours?
Enter the passcode of your other phone. I'm going to do that off camera.
That's as far as I got, and then it wouldn't.
Setting activate. Up your phone. People have said, I saw on Twitter, the activation servers today are a little hammered, as you might expect if Apple's delivering 1 million or 2 million or however million phones today.
So we just have to hook it up to iTunes.
Well, I'm crossing my fingers.
Okay.
In order to complete the activation of your phone, please use another phone to call T-Mobile. Really? Really? That's what I need to do? All right. Well, that's about it. That's about it for the unboxing, I think. I think we're going to go much farther there.
I think it's pretty exciting.
I don't think you want to sit here while I call T-Mobile. And besides, This Week in Enterprise Tech is champing at the bit. There it is. I put it in the case. That's pretty. You like yours?
I love it.
I have to say, I'm pretty darn excited about this.
I've already forgotten about the notch.
What notch?
Yes,
exactly. I didn't even look for the notch. Really? You're right. You don't see the notch.
No, you just see the beautiful screen. I don't know about this case. I feel like it isn't the right color.
It's the wrong color. Yeah. You want clear.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Because it's such a beautiful thing. It's a thing of beauty. And a joy forever. What I usually recommend that people do, and what I did before I left home, is take your previous iPhone and back it up with iTunes. And what I like to do with that is I like to turn on encryption, because that way it'll back up all the passwords as well. It's a much faster process than trying to do it to iCloud over the internet, over air, you know, Wi-Fi. So hook it up. It probably won't take long. I have about more than 100 gigs on my phone. It took, 10 minutes or so to back it up, I guess because I've been backing up all along. And then I'll take the new iPhone. Once I activate it with T-Mobile, I'll take it and I will connect it to the iTunes, and it should just copy right over. All my folders will be there. All my apps will download, and should be ready to go.
The first thing I do is take a Snapchat, usually.
Is it?
Of you. Well,
of the new phone?
Yeah.
But you can't use your new phone
yet. I'm using my old phone to take a Snapchat of you.
Immediately you see on the lock screen camera and flashlight, and a number of people complain a little bit about that because the camera's always been there. You just swipe over. It'd be nice to be able to reassign these, but they aren't reassignable. Let's see. All I can do right now is turn on the flashlight.
Oh, you can't take a picture?
I can't even turn on the flashlight. I can't do anything. It won't let me do anything. That was the most uninspiring unboxing ever. But you know what? On Tuesday, by iOS Today time, we will be all set up. We'll have lots of tips for you. And we will. In fact, you know what? Megan and Leo are ready for us right now. So we'll send you back.
To future.
The future in iOS Today. Thanks, everybody. Welcome back to the future. Aren't we? Don't you see how smarter and...
Younger, like you got your eyes fixed.
I got my. I don't wear glasses anymore.
Yeah, just it wasn't. You didn't even. The iPhone fixed your eyes.
The iPhone 10 has changed my life.
It curled my hair.
I'll be honest. I wanted to hate this phone. I really, and I'm going to be frank about this. I wanted to find fault with it because it's so expensive. The ones we have are $1,150 plus tax, and that's outrageous. You know, well, crossing that $1,000 line was kind of the Maginot line of phone prices. And I really wanted to be able to say to people, oh, good news. This is flawed. You don't want it. Stick with your less expensive iPhone 6S, 7, 8. Any of those would be just fine. And truthfully, they are. But aesthetically, this is such an improvement that you're going to eventually, this is the future of the iPhone, isn't it? The iPhone 10.
I think so. I didn't want to not like it or like it. I mean, I'm with you that I thought that maybe there would be something terribly wrong. It couldn't possibly be worth $1,000. But if you have $1,000 and you want it, it's absolutely worth it.
You know, I even feel guilty saying that. Tim Cook says it's just a cup of coffee. A few coffees a week.
It's $22 a month, right?
I mean,
it's $30 a month.
No. It's more like $60 a month. But well, that's $2 a day.
Some people will give it to you for $30 a month for 4 years, for sure. Like some plans will, which is a lot.
Actually, you know, if you do the financing, it's not much more than paying for it outright over that two-year period. Anyway, that's a decision you have to make. All we really can say is whether the features... claimed features work, whether there's it's still early days. We haven't had it that long. For instance, I don't know if we're experts yet on the battery life here.
What I can say is the battery is not as good as my iPhone 8,
but it's sufficient.
It's sufficient because I always have chargers around. It did not make it through the day, which I was used to in the last two phones that I had, but it's doing a lot.
That may be because of your carrier too.
The battery life.
Yeah, well, remember, then this is why it's very hard to talk about battery life. If you have a carrier with a weak signal, your phone's working harder to acquire the signal, mm-hmm. your battery's going to drain much faster. So you're on Sprint, which is fairly weak in this area. Mm-hmm. I'm on T-Mobile, which is also weak in this area. But a day of normal use yesterday, in fact, you can easily see this if you go to your battery settings. You can see how much battery different things have used. I got down to 30% at the end of the day, like 10 p.m., 11 p.m. That's when I put it on the charger when I went to bed. I felt like that's okay. My iPhone 8 Plus, it would have been 50 or 60%. So it's not. So it isn't as good, I think, as an 8 Plus or a plus-sized iPhone. But it's good enough. I mean, 30% is fine. You see here, yesterday, actually, let's look at the last 3 days. Yesterday, I spent a half an hour on the phone. Of course, I played with it a lot, played games with it. I played my Field Runner's Attack because it's an Alliance week. I looked at Instagram. I listened to books in the background. But none of these completely dominated. Home and lock screen, it almost always is the number one user of battery life.
Not for me. It's interesting. I guess I spend a lot more time on Twitter than you do.
Twitter's here, but it's only 1.5 hours. This is in the last 3 days, 1.4 hours of screen time. The real one you care about most is, so if you tap the clock, you can see how much time on screen. The one you're worried about is how much time in the background. On screen, well, you're using it. So the fact that the App Store spent 41 minutes in the last 3 days in the background, that would be cause for concern, except that it's a brand new phone and what it was doing is downloading apps in the background, right? So that's going to go down. In fact, in the last 24 hours, the App Store doesn't even show up at all. So those are the things you're looking for, things that live in the background. Audible was in the background, but I was listening to a book. So That's exactly what you'd expect. You don't want to see Twitter spending too much time in the background.
Why was my recently deleted apps going 5%?
Recently deleted apps is using the battery.
It's the same amount as my phone and more than Instagram.
Press the clock thing on there. Up in the upper, yeah. So was that on screen at all recently deleted apps?
What
no, you have to scroll down. So, it disappeared when you hit the clock. No, hit the clock again. Do you see
it's
recently?
29 minutes on screen recently deleted apps.
Okay, so that's why. For some reason, you were looking at recently deleted apps for half an hour. Okay, that's one thing. That's one thing that does.
What does that mean? What was I looking at?
Well, that's one thing that does happen. I noticed with this phone, and I guess this happens with all iPhones, but I really noticed it with this one. Maybe because the screen is bright, but unless you turn it off, when you put it away, it will stay on for a while. So what you want to do is turn down your screen off time to the minimum. Apple recommends this. There's another reason. It's an OLED screen, and we've talked about OLEDs before. This is why the screen looks so good. OLED is I think, a superior screen display technology, but it has some particular problems, including burn-in. And that's, of course, the issue that Google's having with its Pixel 2 is burn-in. And what Apple's suggesting is go to your settings and turn your screen off time down to 30 seconds. That's the quickest screen off time. Yours may be on at a higher time. So that's what that's why you might be getting that on screen. Obviously, you didn't sit for half an hour and look at your recently deleted apps.
I just cried over my recently deleted apps.
Although that would be, that'd be kind of sad. so obviously it wasn't that. But it could be that you had been looking at them, put the phone down, and the phone didn't go to sleep for half an hour. That's a long time. So make sure you turn your screen turn off time, turn it as low as you can go. That'll help with burn-in as well. They also suggest making sure that you use auto brightness because the phone uses auto brightness. Notice, by the way, my screen turns off very, very quickly. If I've recognized it, but if I hold it even for a few seconds, it turns off right away. That's the behavior you want because that's protecting the screen from burn-in. It's also saves you power. In any event, to the battery question, I feel it's adequate.
It's adequate.
Yeah.
I mean, I think then when you have the phone at first, it's doing a lot. The same thing was my iPhone 8. I was like, the battery doesn't last as long as the 7. I think it gets used to you how you use it and gets better. So, yeah.
Yeah, the first time you get a smartphone, the first few days, we can't really judge the battery life. And that's why I didn't like it that Apple only gave many reviewers one day because you're doing more with a phone in the first few days. You're up in the middle of the night just looking at it and saying, my precious.
You are. One thing that you can get used to in first few days is the navigation. I feel like it's second nature now. Without the I don't miss the home button at all. Do you miss the home button?
Yeah, that was one of the concerns people have. Apple now has three different user interfaces, one for an iPad, one for older iPhones, and now one for the iPhone X. And anybody who uses all three devices, as we do, has to kind of rejigger it. This is going to be, I believe, this is going forward the future of Apple iOS user interfaces, and I'm glad. I think it's actually a great user interface. Let's show you a couple of user interface tricks, shall we? So number one, because there's no, by the way, I love Face ID. We'll talk about that in a second. But because there's no home button, swiping from the bottom is the new home. Mm-hmm. If you're in an app, there's always a little light bar at the bottom. Swiping from the bottom exits the app. So if you're on page 3 and you want to go back to page 1, swiping from the bottom. There's a second swipe from the bottom that is actually kind of useful. Now, at first I thought it was swipe and hold to get to the recents. That's the new way to get to the recents. But a listener told me, and I wish I could remember her name in the chat room, that actually there's an easier way and a little faster. Swipe halfway up and go off the side. Oops.
Go off to the left.
Go off to the right. And actually, if you go off to the left, I guess it would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That's actually even better. So go off to the left to see. Does it work reliably? No.
I've been using it pretty reliably. Yeah, it just do like, okay, let's see. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's a little better than holding till you get the haptic feedback.
You know how else you can swipe? just if you have an app open, you can swipe on the side. So, like, I can swipe like that and go through my apps.
I really like that feature, by the way.
So that's like, really those are nice. All my open
actually, apps. Wait a minute. That you don't have to. You can be in the home page.
Just swipe.
So you just swipe. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Because, you know, here, this the way we used to do this is we 3D touch on the left side and drag over. And that doesn't work anymore. In fact, it brings you over to the notifications panel. So I love that. Just swipe like that. You just showed me a new tip. I love that.
Do you know how to close apps?
Now, this is a little tricky. Yeah, let's go back into the recents. Show me how to close it.
Okay, so I'm...
so you're in your recents.
And then you used to be able to... You think you'd be able to just
can't swipe
do that,
up anymore.
You can't
watch your
that.
Clear.
Okay. So you have to touch and hold, and then this will come up. And so you can press that to get rid of it, or now you can just do the swiping
and
close everything.
Which is much more natural.
But we should remind everyone, you don't have to do this. They're not...
Although, well, in fact, I don't know if Apple said this or people just are speculating. You shouldn't be doing that.
Whoa.
And so making it harder to do that is Apple's little...
Right.
You don't want to do
so
that.
You're using more battery life by doing that.
Yes. Don't. Let Apple manage it. Swiping off recents is unnecessary. I see people do it all the time.
Because it's fun. We've talked about it. It's like...
Don't need to.
Maybe that's where all my battery life is.
It does use up battery life. Not because you're swiping away it uses battery life, but because you're closing those out and it uses more battery life to reopen them. Apple's really good about taking background applications and putting them away. You don't need to do that. In fact, most of the cases, those are just images. They're not even running applications in the background. Let's see. So, now there's a whole bunch of new physical button things. For instance, since we don't have a home button to press for Siri, you just press the physical button and Siri launches. Whoops. Or actually, press it short and the screen goes to sleep. Press it a little bit longer and Siri launches. And it's the same one where if you hold it, you continue to hold it, Siri will continue to listen to what you're saying until you let go of it, and then she'll be baffled. And I like that.
Who, me?
Yeah. So.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. Who, me? You talking to me, buddy? I love the new little Siri animation thing down there. I don't know what that means, but I love it. If you want to turn it off, though, you're going to say, well, wait a minute. If I press and hold, what about the swipe to turn off? No, Siri. Nope. So you have to do this now to turn off. You press two buttons on either side. It doesn't matter if it's the up or down volume. You just press and hold both. Now, beware, because it's not just going to be slide to power off. You now get the emergency SOS, which will whoop an alarm. And then give you a chance to either, you know, it'll either automatically call 911 or your next of kin if you're dead. And then the other one, and boy, this is a really good tip, medical ID. Fill that out because first responders understand, you know, if you've passed out on the sidewalk, they take, you know, I've been told by first responders, the first thing they want really is a number to call, a contact. But they can tell what medications you are on. It's like a medical alert bracelet, what issues you might have. Are you allergic to antibiotics? Things that they need to know to give you help right away. So if you haven't filled out the medical ID, go to the health app on your iPhone and fill that out. Very useful tip. And now, if you're a first responder, you know that what you do is you press and hold both sides, and it pops up right away, and you can check that medical ID. That is very, very handy. It's also how you turn it off. There's a new DFU turn off too. That is the firmware update that is if your phone really gets bricked. And it's as always, it's a complicated process because they don't want you to do it automatically. So my suggestion is go to imore.com and they have a step-by-step walkthrough on how to do the DFU if you brick your phone. It's probably something you're not going to need.
Want to know another feature?
Love to. Are you not going to do a portrait, are you?
I did a portrait selfie.
Oh, that's right. You couldn't do that
before. You couldn't do that before. And now my ego is completely sated.
Thanks to the notch.
The
notch makes that possible because while it doesn't have dual cameras, I guess it has enough information from the infrared camera, the infrared light, the dots. Do you have the video of Megan setting up her Face ID? We used some sort of special filter.
It's on the screensavers.
To see, you, maybe we don't have it
we
here.
We do have this, though. Very spooky.
Let me show you face. Should we do the Face ID? I hate to do it, and I'll tell you why.
Why? Do you want me to do it?
It resets it. No, you don't. You shouldn't have to suffer this.
I've reset it a couple times because, as you know, I tested twins.
So Face ID, which, as you can see, is very quick. If it doesn't work, and I've noticed this, that sometimes in new situations like studio lights or maybe there's a microphone or I'm not wearing glasses or I've got a wig on or whatever, it won't work. So you swipe it up. We'll do it again. Oops. So it's not unlocking, right? So I swipe it up, and you'll enter the passcode. And it's my sense, and I can't prove this, but I think it's true, and I think I can, you know, at least in my experience, it's true. It will now say, oh, so it was you, and add the data points from that new environment to your Face ID.
It has gotten better. Mine's gotten a lot better.
It gets better.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I would get up and get up in the morning. By the way, it works in black, in pitch dark. I've tried it in concert lighting. You know, when I went to the Bruno Mars concert on Friday, worked great. I've tried it at night in bed. It works because it has an infrared light as well as an infrared camera, so it's illuminating your face invisibly. But there are some situations like when, at night when I'm looking like this that just didn't recognize me the first few times. So you can actually train it if you want. If it's not recognizing you, do give it the passcode, and it will slowly over time get better. I really like that. So here's you do it. Now you don't see that in the real world. That's the infrared light flashing, and you see the dots.
You don't have to move that slow.
No, this is a slow-mo. But you see the dots? They're painting your face. So that's going on. You don't see it because it's all it's all infrared, which means it's below. It's above the below the threshold of a human sight. There's the dots. So it's projecting all those dots. It's mapping your face. Now, you mentioned your twins.
Mm-hmm. I tried it on them. They are identical. And one of them put their face in it, and then the other one was able to unlock it with his face.
Now, they have very different hair, facial hair and hair.
Mm-hmm. And Apple said from the keynote that this would not work if you had an identical twin. It's been proven. It's not like we blew the cover off of their security. I mean, it's the shape of your face, and their face is similar. So
there's a story in the press, too, that brothers were able to unlock their phone. So be aware that if there's somebody in your family that looks a lot like you, that person may be able to unlock your phone. Although I suspect that'll get harder and harder as the phone gets smarter and smarter with Face ID.
I would think so. And you can only, you can only put one face in there. So I put their face in, took it out, and then put my face back in. But what you can do if you are a twin, you can, and you see your evil twin coming towards you, you can disable Face ID by pressing all three of the buttons at once. So that immediately disables.
As always with an iPhone, you will be asked for your passcode at least once or twice a day, either because Face ID failed or because you haven't done it in a while. And you should, so choose a passcode that's a good passcode. That's, of course, your ultimate line of defense. They only allow you 6 digits. I wish they would allow more or a longer passphrase. Mm-hmm. It would be more secure. But so pick something that you can enter quickly that you remember. Don't make it 00000 or 6 ones, but you will be entering it a lot. And I think that that's a good thing because as you enter it, you are training. Every time you do it, that Face ID fails and you enter it, you're training it. And I think that's really good. At first I thought, oh, you mean I have to swipe, do Face ID and swipe? And that's kind of annoying. See, it's unlocked. There's that padlock is what tells you that it's unlocked. But I still have to swipe up to get into my applications. And so that's a little bit annoying. But what I've noticed is Face ID is so fast, I'm not even aware of it anymore. So really, it feels like you're unlocking your phone by swiping up. That's how you get into your phone. And so that's not bad, right?
No.
The lock, the padlock, is your indicator that it's recognized you. If it doesn't unlock, then it hasn't recognized you. And I've turned on, it's actually on by default, you can turn it off, that it needs my attention. So let's look at that real quickly, because if you're saying this is taking way too long, or it's way too, in the accessibility, and we mentioned this before on iOS 11, always look into accessibility in the settings, because there's stuff in there that even if you don't need assistive technologies, you will find very useful. Face ID and attention, you can say, turn this off. If you turn this off, Face ID will unlock your phone even if you're not looking at it and your eyes aren't open. That may be something you want because it does make it easier to unlock it. So if you're having a hard time, it's like it doesn't unlock a lot. Now I'm not going to look at it. Let's see if it recognizes my face without me looking at it.
Oh, it did.
It did, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's really that much less secure. The theory is, oh, somebody could just kind of wave it at you and it would unlock.
So it hasn't. Now, it recognized you.
And I haven't looked at it yet. I looked at it on the TV, though. Maybe it knew I was looking at it on the TV. So I don't know whether that's a big deal or not. If you find Face ID fails a lot, you might want to turn off, at least temporarily turn off attention. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that really harms security that much. Do you want to redo the Face ID just so people can see what it looks like?
I do, but maybe we should take a minute to thank 23andMe first.
Good time to do our sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, by the way, the iPhone 20.
It's going to be DNA test.
It's going to be DNA. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, touch it with your finger and it'll go.
The iPhone 23andMe.
That would be a very, you know, your DNA is yours and yours alone. Mm-hmm. It's unique, unless you're an identical twin.
Right. The fingerprint is the only thing. That's what a lot of people have asked. What about your twins? Wasn't Touch ID a problem? No, identical twins have different fingerprints.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's not, that's random. Like, that's random?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Although, as Apple pointed out, fingerprints 1 in 50,000 would have a false positive.
Mm.
They say their Face ID is 1 in a million, unless you have identical twins. Or brothers that look a lot like you. Or sisters that look like me. My sister looks just like me. 23andMe. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. It's Thanksgiving. Let's all go get our... There's a Thanksgiving sale on right now at 23andMe. Let's all go get our DNA measured. This is great. Your whole family should do this. So the 23andMe is a genetic service that lets you understand your DNA, your 23 pairs of chromosomes. That's what the name comes from. It's easy. There's no blood tests. You don't have to draw blood or anything like that. It's your spit, believe it or not, that has all your enough DNA in it for them to analyze. Oh, look, they have a 23andMe red version as well, product red version. That's neat. When you sign up, they'll send you a little vial. You spit into it. And then you send it back. And in just 6 to 8 weeks, they'll send you an email saying, okay, your report is online. You go online and you find out all sorts of cool things. For instance, your ancestry, where your bloodlines came from. You find out how much Neanderthal. I have 4% Neanderthal genes in me. That's kind of cool. They didn't even know that Homo sapiens and Neanderthals had interbred until about 10 years ago. Actually, 2010 was the first. And they've mapped the Neanderthal genome now. So this is one of the things that's great about 23andMe. It gets better over time. As more and more genetic material is learned, they add that to your report. So every time I go back to my report, there's new stuff in there, like the Neanderthal thing that was added recently. I just find it fascinating. You can see your maternal haplogroup or your paternal haplogroup. And even better, you can see where your mother or your father's people came from 5,000 years ago, 10, 20, 50,000 years ago. You can see their migration up from, in my case, from Central Africa to the Middle East to Europe, and you can see when that happened. It's just fascinating. The DNA Relative Finder lets you find and connect with new relatives. I found cousins that I didn't know about. Now, don't worry, your privacy is totally protected. That's an opt-in feature. But if you opt in and your relatives opt in, you can get matches, which is super cool. Now through Thanksgiving, 23andMe, and by the way, that's American Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't we already had Thanksgiving
Canadian
in Canada?
Thanksgiving
yeah.
Was
now happy. Through American Thanksgiving, 23andMe ancestry kits are only $49 when you buy two or more. That's 50% off the regular price of $99. So that makes it even easier for a whole family to go. 23andMe.com/twit. Traits, you learn, you know, things like back hair. That's a gene. The gene for back hair. Are you more likely or less likely to have back hair? All sorts of stuff. 23andMe.com/twit. Take advantage of that special sale. And I have to say, this is a fantastic holiday gift. I know people go, what? No, it is. It's really neat. To your mom and your dad, give them 23andMe. And by the way, it's a gift that you get as well, because the more they match that up, then you can learn more and more about your genetics because they know about your parents' genetics. It's really fun. 23andMe.com/twit. Try it today.
All right. Do you want me to reset my Face ID?
I think this is So what we're covering on this show today is the differences between previous iPhones and the new iPhone. A lot of it, we should point out, is the same. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what's interesting is a lot of what happened in iOS 11 and in the betas that we were going, what's going on? Now we understand really had to do with the new user interface. And I think that eventually everybody's going to be using Face ID. Apple will probably phase out fingerprint reading. I've talked, by the way, to blind users. I had a good conversation with a blind user who said, because I was worried that this would be a problem. You know, you tap the home button three times to turn on accessibility, things like that. He said, everything's been accommodated. It is great. I have no problem. Face ID is easy. There's a lot of accessibility features that make it easy. So don't worry about that. If you have assistive needs, this phone is just as good as a previous phone. But the Face ID, I think we should show people how you do it. Because it's easier than registering a fingerprint, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah, so it's in settings. Here's settings. And then you go to Face ID and passcode. And then I'm going to enter my passcode. Very secret passcode. And then I'm going to reset my Face ID because I've already set it up.
And now, this is nice of you. She's doing a good thing because all the training is lost at this point. All the excess training that you've done. You don't mind?
It's for you. For you.
Thank you.
I'm doing this for you.
Thank you. For all of us.
And how to set up Face ID. I get started and...
See the ring around there?
Position your face within the frame.
Okay. And now there's that ring. And her job is to fill in those...
Probably I should move the microphone, so I will quit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's see if it works with the microphone.
Well, it will.
And then I'll always have to have a microphone.
You'll have to carry a microphone with you at all times. So you see how she's rotating her head? That's filling in those dashes around the ring. It's actually easier than she's making it out to be.
I'm just stretching my neck, too.
That's it.
That's it. And now I always turn off require face. I require attention.
You do?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I have no... if someone wants to steal my iPhone...
They'd have to take the phone and then shine it at your face without your knowledge. Right. I don't know. So somebody can't do it while you're sleeping because your eyes have to be open with the attention thing.
Yeah, and then now it works. Still works. Yeah.
Even without the microphone. Move the microphone out of the way. I'm just curious.
Okay.
So the first time you may have to... It may not work and you may have to enter in your PIN. And then from then on, it'll say, oh, she doesn't always have a microphone in her... Why don't you show her while she's doing it? Is it working? Show her phone. Yeah, it did. You don't have to have the microphone. There you go.
Hey.
I think turning off requiring it. Oh, by the way, you like those bubbles too, don't you?
I love the bubbles.
I didn't like them at first, and now I love them.
Yeah, they're pretty. You can have all different. Oh,
that's a useful tip. That's a useful tip, by the way. OLED screens use no energy when it's black. So another tip that would be good to know is the more black on your screen, use dark interface when you can, like on your Twitter, use a dark interface, not a light interface. That all is going to save you energy. That's a unique property of OLED screens. They only light up the portion that you can see. If it's black, if you don't see it, it's not using any power. Two more gestures we should mention. Obviously, swiping down from the top does nothing. Well, it does. That's interesting because of the notch. But what Apple says is use the ears. So you swipe down to get to the control center. You swipe down on the right to the ears. And to get to the notifications, you swipe down on the left. Although I noticed that works from the notch as well. So as far as I can tell, accommodated every home button-based gesture and screen gesture with these new gestures. And I think that they're fine. I'm glad you told me this one about sliding. That's so great. Just slide at the bottom. I didn't even know about that. This is, I would argue, much more useful. It's time to play home. Field Runner's Attack, right, John?
It's not time.
Yeah, it's time.
Have you already installed it on that phone?
Oh, are you kidding?
Please.
By the way, there's an example of the portrait mode on a. They say it has to be a human, but it works with dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I wonder if it works with flowers.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Not really.
Well,
sort of.
Oh, that's the black.
That's the stage mode.
Oh, yeah.
See, it didn't find eyes or a nose or a mouth. So it just kind of lit up some of it and not other of it. Mm-hmm. It kind of worked there with a flower. But what I found is half the time when I took a picture, the background was in focus and the flower was out of focus. It works best with people.
Yeah.
And I think it works really well with people.
It works best with Lisa or Gilbert, my dog.
Yeah. This Gilbert portrait that you took? This family.
Yeah.
I've seen so many good dog portraits lately.
Yeah, because they're the only ones that will pay attention to you.
Are you ready for the final, most useful feature that is unique to the iPhone X?
Yes, but you're using your iPad.
Well, I want you to hear the audio, too.
Okay.
It's called Animoji.
Oh, yeah.
Karaoke.
I told you about this on Saturday.
I know, and I didn't believe it till you told me. This is actually our friend Harry McCracken claims to have invented it.
We have lots of good links in, that I already put in there if you want to find them, Kevin.
It's difficult to do.
We have Harry's. We have the Star Wars. Which one are you looking for?
That's perfect. This is. That's Blue Swede.
But that was before he figured out. In the beginning, we thought we could only use 10 seconds because that's what you...
Well, that's true. In iMessages, it will cut you off after 10 seconds.
Right, but all you have to do is record your screen.
Right.
And then play it for the whole song.
Don't record an iMessage.
Right.
Because as soon as you do, it'll cut you off. Just do it, but use the screen recorder. But then you have to get all the user interface out. Here's somebody... This is, I think, one of my favorites. Somebody made... Well... You'll recognize it.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Now, this is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because you have to do each part separately.
Right.
And then use a video editor to cut off the extra stuff.
Most importantly, you have to avoid your mouth sounds being heard.
No, that's not... Okay, I'll show you the trick on that.
Because you record the music separately.
Yeah. So let me show you the trick on that.
Okay.
When you're making these, let me go to a message. We'll create a new message.
You can send a message to me.
I don't even need to send... Oh, right. I do, don't I?
No. Well, you don't need to send it. Well, I don't know.
No, but I have to have a person in there.
Yeah.
That's too bad. What's your name?
You already had me in there. We've sent messages.
Okay. So now I tap it and I say, pick the... Now, these are the ones you can pick from, which aren't, frankly, I'm a little disappointed that Apple did so few. There's a monkey. There's a robot.
Don't you think a lot of work was involved in trying to map people's...
No. A dog. Snapchat gives you more than this. An alien. A fox. I'm thinking that's chocolate flavored soft serve.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There's a pig.
The pig is the best.
You like the pig?
Yeah.
All right. Bring your face into view. And now you see, if you hit record, you'll be limited to 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn on the screen recorder, you won't.
Mm-hmm.
It's watching your face. This is the stupidest use of the most sophisticated technology ever.
Blow up your cheeks. Blow up your cheeks.
I'll huff. And I'll puff, and I'll... You should show the Animoji when I'm doing that. I'll huff.
I don't know. Both are funny.
And puff. So, anyway.
Show the Star Wars one by Derek Duncan.
I feel like there would be more use if they would give us more choices.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they will.
This is my favorite one.
This is like...
The Tonight Show. Did. They had the actors from Star Wars singing
this,
and then he matched it up.
This is what happens when you have a lot of editors.
So, the cat, of course, is Ray.
Wow.
No, the Tonight Show didn't do this. Derek Duncan is the dude.
Oh, he did it to get the Tonight Show to play it.
The Tonight Show, I think we have the video too. The Tonight Show made a video on
afterwards.
YouTube. No, in 2015 when Star Wars came out.
So that's the point. And I was going to show that one feature.
Yeah.
Is when you record, you can turn off the audio. So when you're sending an emoji, notice, where's the... I thought I could turn off the audio. Can I not turn off the audio? Darn it, I didn't want that. I thought there was a way to turn off my sound recording. What's that?
You don't...
Why are we watching a Burger King ad?
You don't have to watch it.
Stop it. We have to listen to it.
Well,
Hey, Megan, do you mind?
Okay, now.
I'm talking here.
We can see. Well, I thought you were trying to... That's what it
is. All right, I understood that.
Okay.
You didn't have to show it.
Okay.
So and that's the point, is that when you make one of these, you record it without the sound. Oh, another tip, when you're receiving these, and you can receive them on any device, including, by the way, on Android, because it just sends a movie. But when you receive it on an iPhone, Audio is muted, as it probably should be. But notice there's, and I had to explain this to somebody, there's a little icon up here. Okay, so I didn't want to zoom in, but there's a little audio icon that turns the audio off or on. So if you don't hear any sound when you get an Animoji from your close personal friend and you could strangle them for keep sending you Animojis, you could turn the audio off if you want as well as on. It defaults to off.
You can't send that. If you have to send it as a video to an Android person.
I think it does. Does it do it? I don't know.
No,
does it do it? Doesn't do it?
It wouldn't send it to Jason when I tried.
But you can save it as a video, which is nice. So if you go full screen, you'll notice you have the share sheet. And you can send it in other ways as well.
Yeah, let's
including AirDrop, Telegram, Snapchat. So there's plenty, you know, all the things that you have share sheets for. Because what it does is it turns it into an MP4, a video. It's annoying. Okay.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
Yeah, it won't let me send it to Burke.
I think Animojis will go away
soon.
It did
let me send it to Burke.
Oh,
the
well.
First day it didn't let me send it to...
I wonder what Burke will be getting. Will he be getting an animated pig?
No, he just gets the pig, I think. Sad.
Okay. We spent way too much time on the silliest feature in the iPhone 10.
I don't know. All right, you know what we need to talk about? All the fun and games. All fun and games until you can't write the letter I anymore.
Now, does this happen to you? Because that doesn't happen to me.
It did happen to me. Several tweets I embarrassingly sent out. The I turns into a question mark.
Well, what happens is a capital I turns into a capital A with a icon that says this is a Unicode character I don't know how to represent, which is a box with a question mark in it. So if you see, and I see it all the time on Twitter and other places, capital A with a question mark icon, that's why.
Yeah. Well, I was messaging with our old friend Nate Olivares Giles, who now works at Apple, and I just messaged him and I was like, oh, I love this phone so much. And then he messaged back, I do too, and it came out with the question mark A.
It's unknown who gets it or why.
Yeah, but I don't get it anymore. I got it for a few days, and it was only in Twitter and Twitter DMs, and then it disappeared. And you had the suggestion to do the
auto-text.
This
is Apple's suggestion. So yeah. Apple's fix, they said we're going to patch this eventually, but until then, use autocorrect and set up a autocorrect for capital I.
So, yeah, that goes, you can do that in keyboards. Where's the keyboards? Is it general keyboards? Yeah, keyboard and then text replacement. So I for I, and you just do that. You can add another one. Or you can install Gboard, which I did.
Oh, and,
as well.
And the Google keyboard does not do it.
Doesn't do it, yeah.
Okay. I have to say, a Gboard I like a lot. When they first came out with third-party keyboards on the iOS, I was very unhappy. A lot of it didn't work very well, but it seems to settle down now. And so I do, in fact, use Gboard. You know why? Because I like the swiping thing. I like to type by swipe, and Gboard. See that with you don't pick your finger up. You just draw on it.
Yeah, it was a very weird problem because it would show up on tweets on my phone, but then if I looked at the same tweet that I sent out on my computer, it wouldn't show up that way.
Yeah.
It was really a frustrating problem, embarrassing, because I don't like typos. I always check my tweets, and when you look at them, it would say the I. It would appear correct, and then when I posted it, then it would change it to wrong.
So there's a lot of speculation, but they think it might have to do with the emojis somehow.
I think they're going to come out with a $2,000 phone that lets you use the eye.
One of the reasons it came up a lot is there was a Twitter meme where you would use autocorrect to write your biography. You start with I was born, and then you just let autocorrect fill in the rest of it. But everybody was typing A question mark was born, and it was like very strange.
Yes.
What else can we say? I think that's – oh, one more thing we should say. Don't break it.
Yeah, most breakable phone ever.
Easily, and people have already shown that, you know, you drop it once, it's got a glass back, a glass front. The cheapest repair is the glass front, $270. Any other repair, including the back, is going to be more than $500 to fix. So either don't drop it, keep it in a very tough case, or get AppleCare Plus. Now, I didn't buy, I don't, as a habit, buy AppleCare. But turns out you can buy AppleCare, pretty easily after the fact. I don't know how long this lasts for, but what you'll be doing to start it off is you'll be entering your serial number. It's in general and about, okay? So now you can go away from it because I'm going to get my serial number here. Eligible for AppleCare? No. maybe because I already bought it. That's probably why. But what it'll do is...
You bought AppleCare?
No, I didn't. I went through this...
Oh, you bought the phone.
I bought the phone, and after you buy the phone, you have some time that you're eligible for AppleCare. Maybe I did it when I was setting this up before. Yet last night I was testing it to show this today, and I'll show it again. Eligible for AppleCare, valid purchase date. If all of that is a check mark, it will send you a link, and you open the link on your phone. It texts you a link, which you open on your phone, and the phone actually tests itself. In the past, to get AppleCare after the fact, you'd have to bring it into the Apple store so they could say, all right, because they don't want you buying AppleCare after you break the phone, right? So they now can send you a little diagnostic that checks the phone.
Oh.
That was what I was going to show you. And then so you can buy AppleCare completely online without having to go into an Apple store. Except that I had some problems, and I think that now maybe I'm not eligible.
Well, Sprint also called me the day after I got my phone saying, like, you don't have, you know, any protection on this, and I think you want it. And I said, nope, I don't.
You don't want AppleCare because it's not yours, it's mine, and if it breaks, I just have to pay for it. So what's the big deal, right?
No, well, I'm going to check my credit card. Because you said your credit card last week, we talked about how your credit card could.
You should check, and you should really verify all of the, you know, issues that might come up with that, because sometimes there's deductibles or the credit card might. Now it's going to text me, so it actually sends me a link, which is a weird link. Diags, okay. Check for in the incoming message. Tap the link in the message and follow the instructions. Return to this window and hit start check. Open this page in diagnostics? Yes. So it says, run diagnostics. By tapping agree, you agree that Apple may collect diagnostic data from this device. It's doing the mobile reset. Okay. Tap the link in the message, follow instructions, return to this window, hit the start check button, and wait for confirmation. So somehow some magical thing is happening here. Between Apple is communicating through the internets. But what it's doing is it's checking to make sure my phone is not damaged. And then I'll be able to buy AppleCare. $199. So this will be a test of whether you were smarter or me.
Yeah.
Generally, I don't buy AppleCare. It's just I'm so nervous about this phone breaking because it's so expensive to repair.
Well, you told me not to buy AppleCare. That's why I didn't. But I'll check my credit card.
No, you shouldn't buy AppleCare. You really shouldn't. If it breaks, we'll buy another
one. I'm very careful with my phones.
Yeah. By the way, again, check. Not all credit cards offer damage replacement. Some do. Some have a limited time period. Some don't. It really varies. Okay. Apple has received the confirmation. Bye. I accept the terms and conditions. Bye. Anyway, you get the idea.
I
wants a credit card number. I've already registered Apple Pay. You saw me on this machine.
It should just let you do
a fingerprint, but it wants a credit card number. So it's anyway, you get the idea.
Okay.
You really have to want this.
Yeah.
But you do. I think you do. Because if I dropped this right now, I would be so unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah.
I would be unhappy. So would Lisa, obviously, since it's her phone.
No, at this point, it's my phone.
Okay.
But it would look like this. That would be funny if when you typed capital I, it gave you that icon. And that would be funny.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
I want to talk about our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage. And then after that, since we're already talking about money, I want to talk about Apple and their Jersey tax haven briefly.
Yeah, not New Jersey. I tweeted this and a lot of people got excited that Apple was storing its billions of dollars in cash in New Jersey.
Old Jersey.
It's not that Jersey.
Old Jersey, sure.
Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. I know that. That's why Quicken Loans has solved the problem of how to get a mortgage without going to the bank hat in hand, going through paperwork in your attic, without taking hours or days or months. In my case, it literally took months the last time we bought a house 4 years ago because we went to the big bank And they kept asking for more documentation and more documentation and more documentation. Now I know why, by the way. The big bank got in trouble later. But that's another matter for another day. Quicken Loans, not like that. They're the number one lender in the country. Number one in customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power, year after year after year. Number one in my heart because they've made a completely online, zero paperwork solution for applying for a home loan or refinancing your house. Go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. You do the entire thing online. They have trusted financial partners with all the banks and everything. So all you do is give them basic information. They say, is this you? You say yes. They say, do you give us permission to query your bank? You say yes. They get the information, they crunch it, and they come back with your approval. By the way, you can specify the down payment, the term, the rate. They're encouraging people to do 15-year loans, and they have some very good explanations of why you might want to do that. But they also offer 30-year fixed. And they will crunch those numbers in minutes and approve you. And right at the end of the process, there's a button that says download and print the approval letter. You show you could be at an open house and do this and not wait months to get that approval, but have it right there. Say, look, I'm approved, and you can buy the house or refi. It is awesome. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Rocket Mortgage, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And you may not be buying right now, but bookmark this so that you'll be ready when you do. Rocket Mortgage. .com/iOS today. We thank them so much for their support. And you better believe I'm not going to the big bank next time.
It's a lot easier than setting up AppleCare after.
It actually is.
It is.
That was harder. I don't want it anymore, AppleCare. You should buy it when you buy the phone, probably. That'd be a lot easier.
All right. So $236 billion in offshore profits.
Now, Apple's response to this is, no we didn't. But
of course it is.
No, we didn't. So this is completely legal. Apple's not breaking any law. But they are upsetting people because, as you know, Apple has a lot of cash, almost $300 billion in cash, and growing fast because they're very, very profitable. Most of that money is not taxable in the United States. It's offshore. This is a legal process. We used to call it the double Irish with a Dutch sandwich. Literally. They would send it through Ireland, and Apple created a subsidiary in Ireland, and they transferred all the intellectual property rights for things like the iPhone to this Irish subsidiary. Apple says, but we do make stuff there. Well, not much. And that way, all of the income and all, so they would, for instance, if they sold an iPhone, they would have to pay license fees, a significant license fee to the Irish subsidiary. They would hold the cash. Apple wouldn't have to pay U.S. tax on it. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And at one point, the EU went to Ireland and said, you couldn't, that's a bad deal. And so Ireland is, in fact, the EU is fining Ireland a lot of money for tax that it didn't take from Apple. So the Paradise Papers came out this weekend. The Paradise Papers are the leaked materials from a company called Applebee that does all of this. They're in the Canary Islands. They do all this for very big, high-value people who don't want to pay taxes. They set up these tax havens in the Canary Islands, Ireland, and other places. The Paradise Papers, which have been released, now say that Apple has moved, because the double Irish with a Dutch sandwich didn't work anymore. I'm not kidding. That's what they call it. They've moved their money to Jersey, the island of Jersey, just off of England, which charges zero corporate tax. And so, according to the Paradise Papers, Apple has $282 billion stashed away completely legally in Ireland. Now, I don't think really we should say to Apple, well, Apple, you've got to pay more tax than you're legally required to. By the way, they're not the only company doing this. They are the biggest by far, but other companies, many other companies, and other high net worth people do this. But what we probably should do is fix the gosh darn tax laws so that, because you and I, we pay our taxes. TWIT pays its taxes. We can't do the double Irish plus the Dutch sandwich. We can't send I'm calling the New Jersey deal the Jersey fudge. We can't do the Jersey fudge we're not big enough. We don't have enough money, and it would cost us a lot to set this all up. And by the way, people find out. But it's legal. So there, you know, Congress is currently looking at new tax laws. By the way, the new tax proposal would make this even easier. So I think this is a time to write to your member of Congress and say, hey, corporations, is my personal opinion here at this point, corporations should be required to pay the taxes that they owe, mm-hmm. and not be allowed to use tax loopholes to get out of it. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. And they do pay, Apple, I read somewhere, that they do pay more corporate taxes than any other company.
Because they make more than any other company.
So,
So Apple will publish in its quarterly reports its tax rate. All these companies do. And it's, you know, I can't remember what it was last time. It's around 27%, something like that, which is, you know, the corporate tax rate is nominally 35%. It's, you know, it's a reasonable amount of money. But what they don't mention is that's on the money, taxable money in the United States. It doesn't include a significant, if you took all of Apple's revenue, including the stuff they've hidden, it would be a much higher tax bill and a much higher tax rate. So, that you know, yes, it's a little disingenuous of them to say, well, we pay more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. But it's completely fair of them to say we pay no more than we're required to.
Right.
No. And my tax attorney always say this. Leo, he'd say, pay no more than you are legally required to and no less.
Right. That's a good attorney.
That's what Apple's doing.
That's why he charges you so much.
But I would suggest that maybe Congress should investigate.
Yeah.
And I think they will now that it's widely known.
Right. All right, we have some questions. Let's start with Daniel. Daniel asks, are you or Leo aware of any wireless charging docks that would have the pad for an iPhone 8 Plus, but also have the magnetic puck for the Apple Watch Series 1? I would love to wirelessly charge my 8 Plus, but sadly don't have the budget for a Series 3 Apple Watch. I also just bought a Series 1 last year, and looks like the Series 3 Apple Watch is the only one that works on a Qi charging Matt. No, Apple doesn't let you do that. They don't let you, which is unfortunate.
They were going to sell something.
They will, but I don't know if it will
charge
not
work with
the series 1
or series 1
or the series 2.
I think it will.
I hope so. But first of all, it's not out yet. And one thing, I've gotten a lot of questions about wireless charging pads.
Love wireless charging.
Well,
by the way, I use it all the time.
It's fine, but you don't, if you have a perfectly good charger, like a big side charger,
plug it in.
It's fine. Like, I have the Belkin Valet, which I love. It sits by my bed, and it charges my watch. It charges any series watch, and it charges any iPhone, and it sits by the side of the bed. It's $129, which isn't cheap, so I'm not going to replace it with the wireless charging. Wireless charging is slower. I mean, if you're talking about your bedside table, it's going to charge.
If you're in a hurry, Apple does offer, some companies offer fast charging. I've used the Samsung wireless fast charger with the Apple phone. It does seem to charge faster. It's a high wattage charger, fast charger. I like wireless charging because you know, you're going to bed, you're drunk. No, I'm not.
You tell your iPhone you love it.
See you in the morning.
Let it go to bed,
and you just put it down. I'm starting to see cars. The new Mini Cooper has a wireless charging in the car. I think this is great.
Yeah, you know? The Prius has had it for a while, but the iPhones didn't. You know, you had to have an Android phone.
Qi is the standard, and now it predates Apple's use of it. But now that Apple supports it, you're going to see Qi or Qi charging everywhere, and I think that's fantastic. Yeah, you can always plug in the Lightning. And that'll be the fastest way to charge in almost every case.
But it is super frustrating that Apple won't let third parties. And I understand charging is complicated. You can ruin the device. You can, you know, burn your house down.
All the Apple Watch chargers we see take the puck and put it into something.
Not
right?
anymore. That used to be, but now you can only use approved Apple Watch Qi chargers. Like because the 3 has Qi charging in it. But only with some Qi charger. So the new one that the Air Pad, I think, is what they're calling
it. But the Series 3 watch works with all previous Apple Watch chargers. I know because I've used that.
It does.
It's just a new feature that you could use it with a Qi charger.
Or some.
But an Apple Qi charger.
Right.
Because Apple's Qi is different than other Qis.
So it is true. But so that pad that they're coming out with next year, the Air Pad, that will be able to charge your 8 and your 3.
And I'm thinking your Series 1 and 2, but maybe not.
I don't think so. but we'll have to wait and see. And there's nothing you can buy now. And that's why I say don't get attached to wireless charging. The Belkin Valet, or I also like the 12 South high-rise Duet.
I'm a fan, as we've mentioned before, the easel-style charging, like the Tilt View.
But he wants something that can
charge
his watch.
But it won't do the watch.
And
oh, the Valet.
How do you charge your... Yeah, that's the Valet. How do you... Yeah. What do you do? What do you have in your...
I bought, you know, that little rubber Macintosh.
Oh, for your watch.
But you put your Apple Watch puck in it. But then, I love this thing. You put your watch in the little rubber Macintosh. I wish I had it here. And the screen looks like it's a Mac.
Yeah.
It's so cute. Like this big, but it's a Mac. Anyway, that's what's on my bedside table.
Well, I like...
This is, by the way, the new gray hook and loop. What do you think?
It's nice. I have the dark olive, which also is gray, but I'm not wearing it today.
There's a variety of watch bands. And between Rene Ritchie and I think we own them all. I like the hook and loop because it's just very easy. It's kind of, I mean, it's a little low rent, but it's very easy to...
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite watch band. It's
good,
easy to get on
too.
And off. And yeah, it dries quickly.
It's comfy.
It's much more comfortable than the fluoroastomer standard.
AKA silicone rubber. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, plastic.
This is a good... Carl sent us a YouTube link to enable a secret home button on the iPhone X and accessibility. Shall I show you how to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's just... I'll show you instead of Saki Tech. How about that?
I don't like this method because it puts a dot on your screen.
Right. I don't like it either, but it's there.
It's part of the accessibility. Again, always when you get a new device or a new update to iOS, go into the accessibility. It's under general, the accessibility menu, because there's so many little things in here. Like I turn on larger text. I like that.
So go to assistive touch and then turn it on. And then there's
the... See the dot, which you can position anywhere on the screen.
And then you can customize all the actions that you want it to do.
But remember, the screen doesn't know about it anymore.
Right. You can put it here. You can put it here. You can put it here. You can put it there.
You can't actually put it where the home button used to be.
You can't?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I guess that's okay.
And you can customize it. Like I said, this is the home button. This is all you need is to swipe up to do that.
I'll tell you what. I was skeptical about learning a whole new bunch of gestures. These are so intuitive and natural, they immediately become second nature. I don't think you need a home button.
But thank you, Carl, for sending us that link. A-Lock writes, are you using a case on your iPhone X? I saw your screensavers on 11.4. And your phone looked pink.
Yes, it's a case.
It is a case. Here it is. This is the Peel case. It's about $30. And it's probably not going to protect anything, as you can see from the sweat pouring off of Leo's head, because I don't care.
You're not going to drop it.
I'm not going to drop it.
And if you do, you're not getting another phone. So there's, there you go.
Thanks, Dad. there's not a rose gold iPhone X, but... So this kind of looks like it.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's nice. I really would probably recommend a more sturdy case. And, of course, if you're really nervous about it and you didn't buy the AppleCare Plus, use the – so we showed in the unboxing the case that I originally bought, the Spigen, which is just basically a thick rubber clear case that goes around it. To me, those are non-intrusive. I buy them from almost every new phone just because they're $10. They're cheap. They're easy to get. And – they seem to do as good a job as anything else. But I'm worried about the front-facing case. So I've been lately looking at a lot of cases. OtterBox makes cases with covers. I've been starting to use wallet cases. They're pretty bulky, but I like the idea of not having to have a wallet. So in a way, it's less bulky because the credit cards and the cash is in here. This is one from Davis Case. It's $30 on Amazon. It's leather. And then the phone goes in here. But the reason I like it a little bit better is now the front is covered as well as the back. Everything's covered. If I dropped it, I think this would be as good as an OtterBox probably if I dropped it. But I know a lot of people don't want something this bulky. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to find, I think, a perfect case because the screen is the most vulnerable part. And most of the time, you don't want to cover the screen.
Right. That is true.
Don't drop it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the peel.
There's the peel.
Super thin. They come in many colors, not just rose gold.
Yeah. How much protectiveness is that going to provide? It's so thin.
I'm not going to drop it and find out. So.
Yeah. Why don't you? Yeah.
No.
The clear cases, a lot of people make those. In fact, The one I got was from Spigen, S-P-I-G-E-N, and it's on Amazon. But actually, many others make them. They should be cheap. They really should be a couple of bucks because it's just a bit of plastic.
Mm-hmm. Lance has a problem.
Uh-oh.
And do you think we can help him?
Yes.
Okay. Lance writes, how do you remove iOS apps in a way that they will never be downloaded and reinstalled again? For example, let's say you grew up as a fan of My Little Pony.
I know, and you're embarrassed.
There's a lot of My Little Pony apps on your device. But now, as an adult, you don't like My Little Pony and or feel embarrassed about the fact that you were ever into My Little Pony.
It's terrible, isn't it?
So I have a solution for our friend.
Poor little My Little Pony, Lance.
If that is your real name. First of all, it's okay to like whatever you like. Here I've gone to all my purchased apps. So here's all. Here's not on this iPad. Let me find
this is one. Hard to find. So let's actually back out a little bit. You go to your you go to your account in the Apple Store.
Apple Store, and then
the way you do that, you type your head. You tap your head.
Yeah. Oops.
Tap your head, and that's going to show your account, and then you see purchased.
Purchased.
We actually answered this question a couple of weeks ago. Somebody wanted to know, how do I see the apps?
Right.
Actually, no, it was on new screensavers.
It was on the new screensavers.
How to see the apps that I purchased. Yeah.
Here's, because it used to be in iTunes, and
right.
I can see all my kids' apps, too.
Yep.
Huck twice for some reason. I don't know why. And then I go to my purchases, and I look for something I'm embarrassed about downloading. Meme Factory. Embarrassing.
I would never admit to that.
And then.
Slide it and hide it.
Slide it and hide it, friends.
It didn't really, you know, it's still somewhere Apple knows.
But then it's not going to show up.
but at least
again.
Hides it.
Yeah.
I actually find that very useful because, especially for people who do what Megan does, which is a clean install every time you get a new phone, this purchase thing is the way you would reinstall apps that you knew you wanted. But you don't want to have to dig through a whole bunch of old My Little Pony apps. So
here comes the bus. How embarrassing.
Yeah, hiding those is probably a very good idea.
The Pit Pal when I was barbecue. Back when I was a meat eater, hide that.
Pit Pal?
That was when we did
barbecue
apps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope we solved your problem, Lance. Are you feeling like you need a cup of coffee just for a pick-me-up?
Oh, John.
I am.
Oh, I always want coffee. And thank goodness. We have Blue Bottle as a sponsor.
I just want to smell it.
Today we're going to drink the Three Africas.
I always
smell that. It's so good. So here's what Blue Bottle is. All the rage in San Francisco. This is an amazing coffee company created by a coffee connoisseur. And they offer, now you don't have to be in San Francisco to get this great coffee. They offer a subscription plan.
I feel like Mark Maron.
Isn't it good? Does he do that in his ad?
Yes.
Let's all have a cup of Joe. Mark, we're thinking of you. Oh, that is good. Isn't that good?
It is really good.
So I should read you. So this is the sampler. No, actually, this is the subscription. So you'll get three different coffees. You get this twice a month because one of the most important things, I don't know if people really recognize this, it's important your coffee be fresh. The beans need to be fresh, but they also need to be roasted. And one of the great things is as soon as you sign up for Blue Bottle, they're going to roast your beans right before they ship them. Within 48 hours of, you'll have the beans within 48 hours of roasting. So that makes a huge difference. And they are beans. And I got to tell you, buy fresh roasted beans from Blue Bottle. Get a burr grinder. They're not expensive. Grind your beans right before you brew it, and you will have the best. You'll say, what have I been drinking all this time?
They will also tell you which grinder to get on the bottle site.
So we're drinking the Three Africas. This is a blend. So they have, and you can choose what you're interested in. They have single origins, you know, like with wine, single origin coffee. This is Costa Rica, Chirapó Regulo de Rivas, which is from the Urania family in Rivas, Costa Rica. They grow this. They buy it directly from them. It is an amazing coffee. Oh, my goodness. Now, you notice this says the roasted on date. We got this a while ago. We've been using this as our demo. So this isn't as fresh as I'd like it to be. But yours will be roasted within 48 hours and shipped to you directly. So you'll have nice, fresh stuff. They also offer decaf. There's the Nightlight, which I like. Nightlight decaf. But if you want a great cup of coffee. And then these are the tasting notes. So the one we're drinking... I don't. Necessity inspires lasting invention. When faced with an impending farmer's market, Blue Bottle founder James needed an approachable blend to delight new customers. Three different coffees from Africa were particularly delicious at that moment. James is like really a coffee nut. He really is. After tinkering with proportions, a harmonious triad was born. So what we're drinking has two coffees from Ethiopia, one washed, one natural, and then a washed coffee from Central Africa. With its notes of chocolate and fruit, it's as satisfying with cream as without. Fruity, radiant, and creaming. It is creamy. It is fantastic. The single of variety from the Urania family, Rainier Cherry Dried Fig Creme Brulee. It's fantastic. This is it, man. I won't drink any other. 85% of their coffee certified organic. Most of their blends are certified organic. It's freshness. It's they are coffee connoisseurs, so you're going to become a coffee connoisseur when you try your Blue Bottle. Go to bluebottlecoffee.com/iOS today for $10 off your first subscription order. bluebottlecoffee.com/iOS today. And as you can see, they have a holiday store with lots of great gifts that you may be interested in. In fact, this subscription would be the ideal gift for the coffee lover. And you probably, I'll be honest, you probably want to get this. I would say this would be a good thing to get before Thanksgiving. Because after you have that turkey, before you sit down to the game, you know, Pop's going to pass out. But maybe you want to give some nice Blue Bottle to your guests. Keep them awake for the rest of the day. BlueBottleCoffee.com/iOS today. This is the best sponsor ever. Because every time we get to do a Marc Maron. Why are you wearing that silly hat? Oh, is it time?
It's time.
All right, I'm going to don mine. It's time for our app cap.
And our caps were chosen specifically
at random.
Today. No, they were chosen by our guests, our studio guests.
You went in our office and... Oh, Ian did it? All right, nice. No, Ian and his
Rebecca.
Sister, Rebecca.
Yes.
Okay.
So
you wanted to humiliate us. Is that it? Yeah. Okay.
I think they wanted to make me look stylish and sporty.
I don't know if I can put this on at all. Where does the face go? How does this work? Is that a chin strap? Well, you know, I've worn this so many times. Oh, I see. I have to do this. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of, I'm a steampunk pilot and you're just like, yeah.
I don't know.
Little
is Miss, this the Marty McFly
little
hat?
Miss Sporty Spice.
No, I don't know. This was a hat I think you wore in the 90s.
There is actually a story behind it, but I won't tell you.
Oh. It's not your rollerblading phase?
Yeah. It's my rollerblading hat. All right. Now let me get the goggles on. You know what I need as well is a scarf.
Yeah.
Because I am the World War I fighting,
Snoopy.
Flying Snoopy. Right. Yeah. All right. I'll wear an ascot. How's that?
That's a microfiber cloth for wiping off our iPads.
It's time for lunch. Okay.
It's time to...
Tell everybody why we are dressed in such an odd fashion.
Because it's app cap time. Caps.
My favorite
caps,
time.
Apps. So I like to take photos, and I rely mostly on my excellent camera on my iPhone, which is good. But, you know, you and Lisa, you do all this fancy editing. I see beautiful pictures online. But I, you know, when I start messing around with filters, I just go crazy and everyone makes fun of me. Too much filters. So I need to be taught.
Ooh.
So this is called Polar. P-O-L-A-R.
Oh, I love Polar. Yes. Highly recommend
it. You probably know how to use it. So,
well, the neat thing about Polar is it's a Chrome extension. You can get it on iOS and Android. You can get it on a Mac and a PC. It works everywhere.
So let's take this picture that I have from my parents' deck. And it might take a while. And then... what should I do with it? I'm going to make a gradient mask. This is the tutorial here.
If you can make that picture look good, you got,
What's wrong with that picture?
Well, it's okay. It's just boring. It's a lot of sky.
So we're doing a gradient mask. Do you know what that is? Where it's like blurry in some areas. Mm-hmm. So notice we set the gradient mask to the reflect mode, position the adjustment, and then set the blur to 100. So I would position where I'd want it blurred. Where would I want it blurred? That's right, maybe right there. And then I'm going to set the blur to 100.
Okay.
Oh.
That looks so much better.
Very good. I think I probably wanted to.
The nice thing is this all is done being done live. So it is actually good for learning because you can see immediately what's happening.
Yeah, that's not. Oh, and, wait, there. Yeah.
There we go. Now we're blurring.
So it looks like a little bit.
Now we're blurring.
There we go.
With style.
Yeah, it's happening live. Yeah. So I can go through the tutorials and the blurred areas look a little too dark. We can decrease contrast to -200 to make it brighter. So you get the idea here. I can skip through the tutorial. I can share this. I can go into copy edits. What I really like also is you can see the history of all your edits. So that's where I get messed up, where I just really start to mess up a video and then I have to go back. So here's this is what I use with an automatic hipstamatic filter.
Ooh, nice.
So that's Polar. And they also have, can I show you? They have Album Plus. Have you heard of this? This is an app which is just subscription service, but it just picks out all of your best photos and puts them in. So it'll take out all of the, you saw when I was scrolling through my photos before, there were a lot of screenshots and stuff. It's taken and left all of the best photos here for me, and I can look at similar photos. Like I have many pictures of Burke. I can see aesthetic ratings. Similar photos are set by ratings.
That's kind of nice. That's
yeah,
neat.
So Polar, this is, it's free to try. You have a certain amount of time to try it, and then it's a subscription service. And so try it, check it out. Make your pictures work.
That's actually a great picture. I like that.
He ate all of those dongles.
Dongle soup.
Yeah. So Polar
Album, it's called.
And this is Polar Album. And as you said,
Two separate programs. Got it. Okay.
And then you said there's a Chrome extension for Polar too?
There is. And if you buy it once, I believe you get all the
everything.
Versions. Yeah. So that's really nice. That is highly recommended. And it's a solution for people who use Chromebooks because it's probably one of the best photo editors available on a Chromebook. It's very good.
And I need to spend some more time with the tutorials.
Do you think Face ID would work if
try it.
It with my... wow, look at that.
Yeah, that wasn't me. That's
that makes you can make people smile. Nice. See, this is one thing I don't like about these photo editing programs. The demo videos, I can't ever do that.
No.
I want to do that.
I know. That's why I like the tutorials. Yeah. I already was learning there.
By the way, it does not recognize me.
It recognizes me with my hat on.
You think I could train it to recognize me?
Look at me. It recognized me.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But you have goggles on.
Yeah. You think the goggles, do not try to do the Face ID with goggles. No, I can't train it.
All right.
It wants to see my eyes. I think that's always the case. Well, our friend Kevin Rose has a new app. Came out right as we did the show last week, but I wanted to try it a little bit before I talked about it. It's called Oak.
That must be why you're so calm, because you've been meditating.
I'm meditating. So Kevin is, as you know, an app developer. He's very smart. It is a meditation app. I haven't actually used it on the iPad yet because I use it on my iPhone. So we'll start fresh here. Very first thing, it says new to meditation. Start with our short introduction video.
We all live very active and connected lives.
True.
Our brains are constantly multitasking, juggling work,
and one of the things
family,
I like about this is
technology.
There are both iPad and
multitasking
iPhone versions.
Multitasking and an active mind are essential for much.
We'll pretend we saw that video. Okay. Now, here's the theory behind this, this is smart. Kevin believes that apps work better if you gamify them. You know what I mean? Make it fun.
I agree.
So we're going to gamify your it's meditating and breathing, by the way. It's not just meditation. So see that? There's a little an acorn that's a seedling. The oak below is growing while you meditate. The more you progress, the bigger the tree becomes. And eventually it can actually fill the screen. So here's your choices. You could meditate. Instructor, male, female, duration, 10 minutes. So one of the things I find with meditation is really helpful. First of all, start slow. It's really helpful to have guided meditations, mm-hmm. at least when you're first starting. Because when you're first starting, you can, you sit there, am I doing it right? What's going on? So once you're proficient, they do have unguided. But let's do a mindful, guided, female or male voice. And let's just hear a little bit. But you want background sounds?
Oceans.
Or white noise? Or ocean? You like, how about cave water? That's kind of pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Clarity. So you like that kind of music, kind of the ethereal music. That might be good for you. Mm-hmm. Here's Elevator.
That's Elevate.
Oh, Elevate. I was wondering. It didn't seem very peaceful to me. Rain. Not just regular rain. Roof rain. You could pretend you're in a little meditation cottage.
Yeah,
in Kyoto, Japan. And the rain is coming down. You're in the bamboo. Yeah, doesn't that? Don't you already feel a little bit?
I feel relaxed.
Yeah, let's. But
even
you said.
After my blue bottle.
Waterfall. How about you could have monks chanting behind you? So everybody has a little different kind of style. I agree. I like the roof rain. Let's go with the roof. We'll pretend we're in. So let's start our meditation. And so it's going to give us a little time.
It's not 30 seconds because I think I could do 30 seconds. That
no,
I can
it's
manage.
A 10. We're going to do a 10 minute. That's the shortest okay. You can do. But it gives you a little time to get situated.
On our mat.
On your mat. Get your butt comfortable.
Yeah,
by the way, you don't have to do the lotus position. You can sit in a chair and do this. It's fine.
Can you lay in your bed and take a nap while you're doing it?
Don't fall asleep. But you could lie down if you can do it without falling asleep. You don't. Falling asleep is okay. That's not what this is for. Here, let's start our meditation.
Welcome to your first guided meditation.
Nice voice.
In teaching you meditation, we will be using traditional techniques that have been used for centuries. After a couple of weeks, or when you're ready, you can switch over to our unguided mode to practice on your own.
So one of the things I really like about this is free.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's surprising because I have tried. Believe me, I am a wannabe meditator. And I've tried every app.
And we love Headspace. They were a sponsor for a long time. Annie Puttycomb is fantastic. Yeah. But you pay for it.
Yeah. The Aura is another one I tried. You pay for.
Calm.com.
Yes, Calm. They're all subscription service. Yeah. They give you a little. And then, but why is it free?
Because Kevin has made enough money.
Really?
He's so wealthy now. I don't know.
It's totally free?
Is there? I don't see any in-app purchases. Scroll up and see if there's any in-app purchases. Because no, the other way. That's called scrolling down. You need natural scrolling turned on. No. Okay. No charge for this. It keeps track in your profile of how many... Oh, I love this, too. Show this on my screen, if you would. Of how many minutes you've meditated, how many sessions. We'll go to the breathing in a second. But there's a community. So there's 49 people using this app right now. Isn't that kind of cool? Six are breathing right now. And this is how many people... This is Kevin, you've made a big difference already. This app, this has been, not you, Kevin Rose. Yeah, you made a difference too, Kevin. You make my day. Kevin Rose put this out 1 week ago, and already 3,554 people use this today alone. Isn't that nice?
That is nice. I'm downloading it right now. Also, Calm Reverb mic in our chat room says Calm is free.
Calm has, no, all of them have free tiers, but as you use it, I pay for Calm. I know it's not free. As you use it, if you want more features, you'll pay for it. So that's pretty typical. This one, as far as I can tell, I'm pretty sure there's no charge at all. Let's do some breathing. You want to do deep calm, which is the natural tranquilizer for the nervous system. Kevin's a big fan of Dr. Weil, Andrew Weil. Inhale for 4 seconds, hold for 7 seconds, exhale for 8 seconds, repeat 6 times. Here's box breathing, which I've
What's
done.
That?
Well, it's 4-4-4-4. And this is what I usually do. If Megan drops her phone, this is what I'll be doing.
Okay.
You inhale for 4 seconds through your nose. We'll have them guide us. You hold for 4 seconds. You exhale for 4 seconds, and you hold for 4 seconds, and you repeat 4 times. There's also awake, which I've never tried. This is for when you're beginning your day. You inhale very slowly for 6 seconds, followed by a rapid exhale for 2 seconds. Now, you may say breathing, come on, but honestly, there's a lot of evidence that breathing has
keeps you alive.
That's right, keeps you from suffocating. And so don't mock this. All right, let's begin breathing. You want to? Now watch.
Okay.
So there's a graphic that says inhale. This is the 4-4-4. You hold it for 4 seconds and then you exhale. This makes it very easy. There's no speech, but the graphic on the screen is showing you. There's iPhone and iPad, same app. It's a universal app, so it uses a screen appropriately. I don't know if it's going to rotate. No, I don't think
it did once, but...
Yeah, sometimes it does. I
think it's a little much to meditate with your iPad. I feel like it's a little much to meditate with your iPhone, but I tried... When I try to do it by myself, like I'll just set a 10-minute timer on my Apple Watch just to go off. All I'm thinking about is how much longer.
When you first start to do a guided meditation is the best. And I've done a lot of guided meditation. In fact, I've meditated for years, and I still like having somebody do a guided meditation. It's just helpful. Mm-hmm. Here's wisdom, and that's, of course, what you'd expect. It's information. So there's quite a few videos, actually. I'm pretty impressed. So Alan Watts, one of my heroes, the purpose of meditation, he's an early American Buddhist who lived just down the road a piece in Sausalito. Enemies, what does it mean to love our enemies? Excessive thinking and life. So these are lectures from Alan Watts, and then there's the Oak introduction. I suspect there will be more. We'll see.
And then maybe they'll be charged. He'll charge for those.
If I think all the time, that is to say, if I talk to myself all the time, I don't have anything to think about except thoughts.
Profound, right?
Yes.
Actually, there's quite a bit more. It's a 3.5 minute, but we won't play the whole thing. So really simple app, beautiful app. And I love the idea that as you use it, this oak tree gets bigger. So there's a kind of incentive. Meditate, breathe, and a little bit of wisdom mixed in. This is free from Kevin Rose for iPhone and iPad. It's called Oak, O-A-K. And it's kind of, if you're interested in just kind of at least getting started, this would be a great way to do it. And of course, there are many, many resources out there. And I do love Headspace, and I do love Calm.com, mm-hmm. and some of these other resources out there that can be very helpful. Anything, you know, we live in a kind of a jagged, edgy life these days, and this anything that can help you just kind of relax a little bit, it's going to be good for your body, good for your soul. So, Oak, O-A-K.
Thank you for introducing me to that.
My pleasure. I think you'll like it. Yeah, I really like it a lot. Yeah.
And so now it's your time to go meditate. Now we've told you how, and now you can go. You've done listening to us. We have no more to say until next week.
I look like a meditating praying mantis. There's a new kind of mantis. It's called the meditating mantis. It doesn't eat its mate. It just bores them to death.
Hopefully we haven't done that. Yeah, meditate to us. I think that would be great.
I think this is a very meditative program. We do it every Monday.
Tuesday.
That's why I'm late. We do it every Monday.
Yeah, if you thought it was Monday, you'd be early.
Oh, yeah, you're right. 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. We're at a new time now. Mm-hmm. 1700 UTC. Mm-hmm. So make sure you adjust your clocks. And if you can be here in studio, like our fabulous Clark family, we would really enjoy that.
There they are.
We'll let you pick our hats. That's your reward. Oh, thank you. They all waved. That was so cute. Thank you, Clarks, for coming to visit. You just have to email tickets at twit.tv ahead of time, because if you don't, we won't let you in. No, we like to know because we want, first of all, there's times you can come when there's no one here, and that wouldn't be a very interesting thing. And we don't really have the staff to give you tours. Don't expect, special treatment. But if you email us, we'll endeavor to give you everything you ever desire.
Mm-hmm. And make sure you come when Leo's here, because it's no fun when he's not.
Yes, it is. That's not true. Tickets at twit.tv. You can also watch live on our live stream, twit.tv/live. You can also chat with us. Oh, look, we're live-ish. That was before. twit.tv/live or in our IRC channel. If you're all watching live, it's always a lot of fun. irc.twit.tv. Let me think what else.
Best ofs. We're doing a show. Oh, yes. We're going to dedicate a show to setting up your devices that all of your wonderful friends and family have given you.
That's going to be our holiday episode. We did that last year. It was fun. We got jammies. We sat around the tree and we set up everything.
So we're going to do that. But you should send in your best of for other shows. Like, for example, the screensavers where we ate hamburgers for the weekend.
Those were disgusting.
They were delicious.
You won. That's why. We had a taste off to see which hamburger emoji tasted the best. And we actually made them. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this. There's three different burgers, right? Statistically, I should get one or two right, right? Mm-hmm.
Somebody
just by chance.
Someone mapped it out on Twitter.
I got them all wrong. You got one right, which is statistically just basically all you know, that was luck.
Yeah.
If you can't watch live, you can't be here live, you know what you can do? You can get on-demand versions of everything we do at twit.tv. For this show, it's twit.tv/iOS. You can also subscribe in your favorite podcatcher. We would like that, because then you'll get one every single week. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. What am I going to flip? My glasses? I'll flip my bib on iOS today.